Spiritual has many attributes and implications with much overlap with experiences of awe. Awe may include elements suggestive of threat, such as fear, powerfulness, and grandeur, though also wonder, veneration, spectacularity, and magnificence. There is the implication of great size, impact, and the potential to be overwhelming. Awe also includes the magnifying effects of attention, mindfulness, and respect. Awe as an experience may emerge from the night sky and its challenging vastness, but such experiences can include the most finite and specific in the here and now. Perhaps the queen bee in the hive, or the night sky reflected on the still lake's surface, or the world of that lake's drop off to the depths with its forests of weeds and its diverse denizens, or the first ripe black raspberry of the summer, or our granddaughter Ella's appreciation of fairies in the garden's tall flowers and small stones. The access to awe resides also in Mary Oliver's observations in her writing and her poetry. She says, "I see something and look at it and look at it. I see myself going closer and closer just to see it better, as though to see its meaning out of its physical form. If you notice anything, it leads you to notice more and more its meaning out of its physical form. The dream of my life is to lie down by a slow river and stare at the light in the trees, to learn something by being nothing a little while, but the rich lens of attention. Awe may enter through that lens, bringing meaning, comfort, inspiration, and wonder." It's been 4 short years now since our family journeyed to our favorite site of hikes and picnics in southern Illinois. Already a regular pilgrimage some 20, 30 years ago when our children were young. But even more awesome in 2017 when we reclined over a wooded ravine hearing distant thunder just as the solar eclipse of 2017 began its progression to totality and the darkness that accompanies it. Other trips, pilgrimages to the Badlands, the Black Hills, the hills near Mount Shasta, all brought moments of sacred connections with other times and people, and the presence of awe. I can also find awe in the presence of the summer's monarch butterflies, whether in our gardens or those of the fellowship, and the magic of views from the escarpments of our region, and the small crystalline streams singing songs in tune with the stones and the flow. Music too has such power for awesomeness, as may the words of the people we love and through whom we have shared moments of awe. I hope I remember the paths and doors that bring me to the presence of awe and wonder, such as when our children were born against the backdrops of our busily evolving lives. I would also suggest that you hold open on your calendar April 8th of 2024, when there will be a total solar eclipse again in southern Illinois and its beautiful countryside. You can also see it in Evansville, Bloomington, or Indianapolis, Indiana, if you wish. There will be a total eclipse in northeast Wisconsin, but it's going to be a couple of years before the end of the century. So take your trip to Illinois now and be awestruck.
About 20 years ago, I went on a Rotary professional exchange to Norway. It's an amazing program that invites non-Rotarians to go as a team to a foreign country to learn from other Rotarians and folks who work in the same field. I was really lucky to be chosen. And I went with a group of folks from this part of our state. For 5 weeks, we spoke at Rotary meetings throughout Norway. We visited with people one-on-one It was wonderful. We even had an audience with the king because he was a Rotarian. I mean, friends, but it was also kind of exhausting to be on 24/7. Twice during our 5-week stay, those kind and gentle Norwegians put our team up in a cabin far off in the mountains for a chance to unwind. The cabins we stayed in weren't connected to any electrical grid. Generators offered service for a few hours a day. Our summer evenings were lit by the glow of fires and candles. On the first night, our team gathered on the outside deck of the A-frame cabin. There was not another building or cabin in sight. Electric light was nowhere to be seen. The shadows of the mountains surrounded us, and we could feel their dark embrace. Looking up into the night sky, we saw a deepness and intensity of stars in that magnificent night sky that none of us had ever seen before. Most of us came from areas where city light blinded us from seeing anything more than the sky's biggest show-offs, like the Big Dipper or Mars or Orion, and of course the moon. There, the Milky Way laid like a heavy blanket on top of us, dense with stars that revealed an intense multi-layered dimension that I never knew floated above me. We grew quiet as we stared in speechless wonder. Suddenly, a shooting star raced across the sky and then suddenly petered out. In a few minutes, another and then another. I had never even seen a shooting star before, and that evening we counted at least 20. Our voices hushed, and then suddenly we would shout out, "There's another one!" Intoxicated by awe, we saw satellites moving methodically across the sky. Embracing this intensity, this mystery, we breathed in and out, feeling alive, overwhelmed, and reverent, all at the same time. We were in awe. So, what exactly is awe? We've all experienced it at some times in our lives. Scientists say that awe is the feeling of being in the presence of something vast that transcends our understanding of the world. In early human history, awe was often experienced during sacred rituals, intense weather, or earthly related traumas. Folks imagining that earthquakes or tornadoes or storms were some sort of connection to the gods. Today, we understand the science behind such events, but still, we can be moved by their intensity when feelings of fear and amazement blend uniquely together. I personally love a good thunderstorm. Nothing is more mesmerizing to me than to be sitting outside under cover during a raging storm. The intense roaring thunder and blinding flashes of light are exactly the perfect mix of danger and wonder. But we also know that awe can be found in quieter moments. A spider web glistening with dew in the early morning sunlight can cause us to feel awe at its intricacy and beauty. Watching the changing deep orange to red and then purple sky that mesmerizes us at a sunset. The smile and sweet scent of a baby in our arms. These smaller, more daily moments can take our breath away as well, but for some reason we don't seem to seek them out as deeply and hold them in our minds. I suspect that any of you who have given birth or have even witnessed a birth are in awe of this event. I couldn't believe that my body knew how to do things that it had never done before. As hormones naturally surged within me during the birth of my children, my body knew how to dilate, push, and even breathe when my own brain didn't even know what to do. How is that possible? That our body has this ability and knowledge to function on its own without guidance and leadership from our brain, causing us to even forget the difficulties of birth as soon as that baby is laid upon our chest. It's a wonder to think of. A miracle, really. To all of you mothers who have lived this miracle, it still surprises me to think on it. To all of you who have lost a child or have struggled with fertility, I hold you too in light and love as well. The desire, the want, the challenges and awe of motherhood and fatherhood can be complicated and a heartfelt dance that can cause deep aches and unknown elation. Interestingly enough, scientists are taking a deeper look at awe and its properties and how it can influence our lives. Dr. Dratcher Keltner and Jonathan Haidt have created a lab at UC Berkeley to study this important but elusive feeling. Through their studies, they've recognized that feelings of awe actually bind us socially to other people. Their studies show that awe enables us to act more collaboratively and shows us ways to create stronger groups, and ultimately it improves our ability to even survive better. Let me share an interesting example. Keltner and Haidt staged a minor accident to see how people would respond. One was set up near the grounds of Berkeley's Museum of Paleontology, where a grove of exceptionally tall and beautiful eucalyptus trees stood. Some of the very same trees that inspired Emerson and Muir. Here in this beautiful and majestic space, they had participants just hang out. After about 20 minutes, they had staged someone to fall and drop books and pens. The others around this person raced to help. In a survey following the event, participants reported that they just by being in that space, surrounded by those majestic trees, they reported feeling less entitled, less self-important. They felt more connected to the people around them in that area. When the person fell, they didn't hesitate to help. The same event was staged in the middle of a much less inspiring area of the campus with another group. In this setting, students did not report any of these feelings of connection, and none of them even tried to help, or in fact, some didn't even notice the student who fell. Other studies they have done reveal that being in the presence of vast things calls forth a more modest, less narcissistic self, which in turn creates a greater sense of kindness towards others. Keltner and Haidt studies have also shown that moments of awe stimulate and increase wonder and creativity. I personally find sitting on the shore of the ocean or one of the Great Lakes to calm me, but also inspire me, as being in the presence of that great body of water feels restorative. Their studies show that simply watching short videos of expansive images of the earth seem to encourage people to come up with more original ideas and approaches to problem solving. But guess what? Awe doesn't just stop at inspiring us. Studies show that there are positive physical reactions for the body when we experience awe. Keltner and Haidt's focus in the lab is on one of the branches of the immune system known as the cytokine system. Cytokines are chemical messengers that are produced by cells in damaged tissues. Many cytokines create an inflammatory response, which is important for killing germs and healing wounds. But unfortunately, when the body is in chronic stress, it can also create hypercytokine responses. Hypercytokine production can cause chronic illness. It can make one more susceptible to disease. Keltner and Haidt noticed that this hyper response was often found in those who experience extreme poverty and deprivation from awe. But guess what else? They discovered that of all the emotions that we have, only awe could reduce these hyper levels of cytokine. Experiencing awe can actually heal our bodies. How holy is that? Now, sadly, Dr. Keltner feels that our culture across the board is becoming more awe deprived. He says it's not only folks who are experiencing poverty or chronic hardships, but the majority of us are spending more time working and numbing ourselves with screen time. or spending less time outdoors or engaging with other people. Now, of course, these studies occurred before COVID times, but the facts still remain. Admit it, our gaze is increasingly fixed on our screens these days, rather than noticing the wonders and beauty of the natural world or even physically engaging with others around us. I know I'm guilty of this myself. I hate that notice I get each week from my iPhone that reports my screen time. I try each week to reduce it, but some weeks I don't do so well. COVID hasn't helped at all, and I guess I offer us all a little grace right now as we transition around that. But I feel it. When I disengage down that internet rabbit hole, I feel it in my bones. I bet you do too. Do I really need to read that ridiculous article about the Kardashians or watch another rescue animal video? After lost hours of doing this, I actually feel myself feeling more disconnected and restless. I like to spend some time thinking about intention, especially now that I'm retired. How do I really want to spend my time? COVID put a damper on many things, but even through all of that, nature was still there for me. Nature still carried on with its beautiful beginnings and endings of seasons, unchanged by the pandemic that roared through the world. And with intention, I found solace in that. My husband and I explored more state parks than I ever knew existed. I found beauty in the slow decay carved in trees and fauna pressed hard by winter. I found hopefulness in the unfurling of ferns and leaves as the warm spring air came and invited its intoxicating and unstoppable resurrection. If spring could lift its head and begin again, so could I. So could we after this unbearable year. And here's the thing, that beauty, that awe, it is always there. The sky I saw in Norway is above me every single night. Last summer, I saw it again in its intensity at Newport State Park, right up in Door County. Newport is a designated international dark sky park, only one of 48 in the entire world, and it's only 2 hours away. I sat with my family last summer on that dark beach. Above our heads, shooting stars and satellites filled the sky. Mars was shining so bright, it left a light trail on the lake. The awe of witnessing something bigger than ourselves was and is right outside our doors. Kindness between neighbors and family happens every single day. A neighbor plows your sidewalk, unasked. A sister calls, just because. The fullness of summer has everything lush and green, the taste of fresh strawberries, corn on the cob. Both of these things are only available during this time of year, and they beckon to us. Flowers are bursting with heady scent. They are there, showing off, even if we walk right past them, unaware. I belong to a group of UU ministers on Facebook, and I posted that I was working on a sermon about awe, and I asked folks to share a time when they had experienced awe in their own lives. Their answers were beautiful, some expected, some of them unexpected, but all of them profound. Here are some of the things that they shared, and maybe you've experienced some of these yourself. My first ever glimpse of the Grand Canyon. The birth of my babies. The first time I saw DNA under a microscope. Watching a new full moon rise at the same time a family crisis unfolded, and it made me realize that I wasn't alone. Sitting in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome and marveling that man had created such beauty. The natural beauty of the Rocky Mountains. Catching the sight of a double rainbow, so bright in color. And this one from our own Dottie Matthews, watching the sunrise between the rocks of Stonehenge. One that deeply touched my heart was this: being present at the final breath of a four-year-old who died from cancer. Walking down the aisle, knowing I was marrying my best friend. And lastly, kind of my favorite, the everything bagel. You gotta admit, it's pretty awesome. I had a patient who lived to be 105. That alone is awe-inspiring, but he taught me something even more amazing. He had started using the word privilege in a very different way. When I was visiting, he would say, "I had the privilege to hear a beautiful concert last night." He said he had the privilege to talk to his grandson every week. He had the privilege to watch the sunset one evening. I asked him about this use of the word. It seemed unusual. What did it mean for him? He paused and he said that he found such beauty and abundance in the world as he was coming into the last months of his life. He realized it was all such a gift, such a privilege to even participate, to be alive. He felt so much more appreciation for it. He vowed that he would not take a single moment for granted in his final days. In his final days. I've always said that my patients were teaching me. He was telling me, he's telling you, do not let this life and all these gifts go unnoticed. I choose to turn away, to look at my phone or to binge watch Netflix. I choose to keep my head down as I walk along the sidewalk, missing the natural beauty around me. I choose everything I do that keeps me from separating myself from the awe that surrounds me. Knowing this, I can. You can. We can all choose awe. Now I need to pause and admit that I stand before you with another kind of privilege. I am a well-educated, middle-class white woman who is now retired. I'm in a healthy relationship. My adult children are doing okay. I'm not facing illness, addictions, pressing mental health issues, or poverty. Those things are tough. Those things can get in the way when you're trying to look for awe. Please know that if you're struggling with any of those things, know that you are loved and cared for by this community and that you are probably doing the very best that you can. And to be honest, I find awe in that. There is tremendous awe in just doing the best that we can in times of struggle. When I look back at difficult times I've had in my own life, I'm amazed I made it through. Please, please don't beat yourself up if you are in that space right now. But if you can, I invite you, I encourage you to seek out awe in your daily life. Don't just look for those big moments. Studies show that looking for awe, folks can actually experience it many times a week, often every day. According to Keltner, it's the simple things that can bring it on, like noticing red and gold autumn leaves pirouetting to the ground. Maybe it's holding your loved one's hand as you walk together. Maybe it's hearing music being played on a street corner. All of these things can touch us in deep and powerful ways, but the trick is being present, truly present. And that alone opens us up for more awe in our lives. In our reading earlier, I was amazed to read that the earth itself ever so slightly reached towards Newton's apple as it fell towards the earth. I found such holiness in that, such a connection between something vast like the earth wanting to pull towards a simple and singular apple. Is it true, I wondered? This phenomenon is actually Newton's third law that states that the force of the apple on the earth caused the earth to accelerate ever so slightly toward the falling apple. They are in need of each other. I love when science can explain such a holy and beautiful phenomenon. It seems that we pull towards the earth just as the earth pulls towards us. The cliffs and the gulls and the ocean are pulling towards us just as we are pulled towards them. How awesome. You, Reverend Jessica Rodella, shared this when I asked ministers to share a moment of awe, and it touched a chord in me. It's from the book Return to the Springs by Jacob Trapp. When the first person stood, as you and I have, over a vast, mysterious otherness, whether in a grove of trees or in the mountains or under the stars, and we experience inexpressible awe and wonder, there, the first feelings of prayer were born on this planet. There, both eons ago and today, in these moments, we find a true theological experience, and we are creating a natural and primary kind of prayer. We've all felt that, haven't we? One of my favorite authors, Anne Lamott, identifies three types of prayer: help, thanks, and wow. When we step outside ourselves and fully see the beauty in a singular moment, such as the sticky kiss of a child, the soft mink-like fur of a new pussy willow, or the rhythmic trill of a red cardinal, it can take our breath away. And we feel that invisible tug between ourselves and everything. That feeling is definitely a wow. And we, science tells us, are better both mentally and physically for having witnessed these moments of awe. So go and be present. May you seek the awe that awaits you. May it be so.